This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money on a Friday. Of course, Amal Shaw and Patrick Maher as we welcome you back. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And Friday means Samich. Of course, Mike Samich, co-host of The Handle every Saturday and Sunday with our buddy Matt Brown here on VSiN. And we say hi. And as we say hi, frequent viewers of not just VSiN and The Handle and Sharp Money are going to notice that Mr. Samich has a new and improved setup behind you. That looks good. Now, I'm not sure. Is that a bunch of liquor behind you? Because you might be kind of outing yourself as a lush.
I'm outing myself as a lush because it's empty liquor bottles behind me. I don't have any full ones back there because if it's in the house, it's going to be drank, man. It's not for show. It's for use, right? And we got some nice little Breeders' Cup and Kentucky Derby glasses back there. And this is a work in progress. As we've unpacked more and more things from the office from North Carolina, we're going to put more stuff up behind me here. So keep an eye out there for the little changes from week to week.
No, it looks great. It looks great, Mike, and great to see you. We've got Breeders' Cup coming up here, Santa Anita, first Saturday and Friday, of course, Saturday into the weekend in November. RacingDudes.com. I want to give a shout, Mike, of course, Jared and Aaron. Make sure you go check out the boys over at RacingDudes.com. Okay, there's plenty to get to. Let's kind of back up until last night. I don't know if you heard, but Amal and I were laying the three with West Virginia. And I mentioned, you know, that game is kind of, that encapsulates exactly why VSiN exists, because that 12 seconds of dopamine is the reason that we all love to do this, right? Like whether or not you were on West Virginia or Houston last night, it's kind of like, that's the racket. That's the game right there.
Yeah, I have a buddy who was on Houston who runs as good as anyone I know. It's ridiculous how he runs. And then, of course, he texts me. He's like, Hail Mary cover with 6 seconds left. I'm like, this is just ridiculous how good he's running right now. That's a brutal game if you're on West Virginia. Although I would say Houston was in control the majority of the game, seemed like the right side. But to end it like that after getting the touchdown and then you have this wild Hail Mary, man, it's what makes betting fun. You get to enjoy the whole thing, brings it to another level. You can put $20 or $200 or $2,000 on it and you are entertained, right? It's like the gladiator scene, right? Are you not entertained? That football game was wildly entertaining last night. And the good thing we had it on, considering that Andy Reid wasn't trying against in the NFL last night.
Wait, hold on. You have to hear, and I don't know if Amal admitted this when we talked about this at the onset of Sharp Money, but Amal Shaw, after the Hail Mary, what did you do with the rest of your night?
I went to sleep. I just turned off the TV and just went straight to bed. I don't even know if it was 8 o'clock.
It was like
officially.
8 o'clock.
It wasn't 8.
Actually. How do you fall asleep? I mean, we know you don't have any pillows on your bed. So that's question number one. But the second part of this is like, even if you're on either side of that game, how do you fall asleep right afterward? If I have a bad beat or a crazy win like that, I got at least an hour before I'm crashing.
First of all, I've been watching this great show from 2018 on Netflix called The Dogs of Berlin. It's a really good show if somebody's looking for a show. Normally I turn that on. Mike, I went in the room. I just shut the door and it is so dark in my room. You can't see anything. And I just was like, you know what? Who the hell cares? I didn't set the alarm. I usually set the alarm because I do a Friday morning show. I'm like, I will be up sometime by 2-3 o'clock in the morning. It didn't matter. I couldn't believe, but I was telling Patrick, I can't really complain because I got lucky last week in the Jets game. I laid a bad number in play and the Jets got that fumble recovery for a touchdown. But Patrick and I were talking about this, and you know this, Mike. You've been doing this a long time. There had to be a part of you, if you're on the Mounties like I was and Patrick was, that there's this possibility, especially when you got that unsportsmanlike conduct and the kickoff was coming from the 20. So you assume the kickoff would put the ball somewhere around the 35 to 40, a quick out, and then they're going to have one shot.
I mean, that's part of betting, right? Yeah. Is that we always in our head just start doing the math of how things can go wrong in those type of situations. You're like, oh yes, we got the touchdown. We're going to cover. And then you see the flag. You're like, oh no, I know I know this isn't over now. I know they have a shot. It comes with the territory that it's not over until that final whistle blows. I can't imagine the people had moneyline parlays with University of Miami last week, where for some reason they don't take a knee and then they give up these two massive plays. Heck, my Miami championship at 80-1 ticket went down the tubes because they couldn't take a knee. It's just these moments in college football that you know are going to happen just because the other team gives the opponent the opportunity to be able to take the game away.
Mike, I wasted Patrick and Dustin's time and everybody else's listening and watching's time last week on Wednesday giving a 5-minute diatribe on why the Hurricanes could win the ACC at 6-1.
Correction, Mario Cristobal wasted your time during
fair.
That rant.
Yeah, that's
no
fair.
Kidding.
Correct.
Who doesn't take
and
a knee?
Also,
come on.
Just a great memory and callback by Mike Somich and the diabolical move by Amal. Amal surprises us, to be fair, every day, but none more surprising than when he told us he sleeps, wait for it, without pillows. What?
I'll never forget that moment. Never in my life. I know no one else
who
does
the
that.
The worst thing in the world is like when you go somewhere and you're staying at somebody's house, or if you're in a hotel, and they've got these pillows that could be used in professional pillow fighting where you could knock somebody out in one shot, and then the bed is hard as a rock, you're like, dude, I'm screwed either way. I mean, it's like, for me, it's like sleeping at 45 degrees. I mean, it's over. I'm like, I'm in trouble.
Prospect, I'll put it that way, in Las Vegas that happens to be a young lady, if you see at some point Amal Shaw sleeping in a bed, please take a picture of him being completely horizontal without a pillow staring at the ceiling, because I need to see that.
I just want to know, if you bring a lady home, Amal, is it BYOP? Like, do they have to bring their own pillow?
I've got that stupid bedding where you actually put all those crappy pillows on there to make it look like you have a nice bed. Just on my half, because I don't even move when I sleep. Literally, I just put them all on one side and it looks like nobody's even moved on that side.
BYOP is the line of the day. Mike Somich, VSiN host, professional handicapper, joining us here at Sharp Money, as he does on Fridays. All right, the Final Four is set just quickly. I don't know if you have a take here as far as baseball is concerned, but I'll throw it at you. The NL, we're looking at the Phillies. I thought Acuna Jr. had a shot. Wyatt's Braves go down with a whimper. A shot at the top of the seventh. Bases jack, 3-2 count. Left center caught. That was the series. The Phillies are laying $170. Arizona, the D-backs, who are undefeated in this postseason, are +145, Mike.
Yeah, I don't have any action on this right now. If I was going to play anyone, it would be the Phillies. They just feel like they've got the mojo. They've got it all going. You've seen what Bryce Harper's been able to do in this postseason, that play with absolute homer blast after blast there in Philadelphia. They just have that energy, that momentum that you need in postseason baseball. Now, momentum's only as good as the starter the next day on the bump. So we'll see if they can keep that rolling against Arizona, who's looked good as well. But man, it's wild what we saw from these teams who had a time off to then come back and just get demolished in that round. The bye almost seems like it was a detriment to a lot of them, especially when we had sweeps in all the wild card round. But if I was going to lay anything here, I'd take the Phillies minus the game and a half. You can get them at slight plus money minus a game and a half right now, but I don't have any interest. I don't have any bets myself on the series.
Quick question for both of you. Do you think baseball should go to 8 teams in each league to make the postseason? So these teams who win the division, and we talked about it, Patrick, earlier in the week, the Braves hadn't played a meaningful game since that Dodgers series about 3-4 weeks ago. Because it seems like outside of Houston, the layoff impacted everyone. The Orioles get swept. The Braves struggle. And the Dodgers get swept.
No, absolutely. Keep them busy. And by the way, Rob Manfred, he is amazing when it comes to programming, because he said, why start the series early when we can go against the NFL on Sunday with the Astros and the Rangers? There you go. And then, by the way, on Monday night, let's go against Monday Night Football. Stand alone. Why not? Anything on the Astros and Rangers? $1.40 on the Astros, +120 on the Rangers, Mike.
I think it's going to be a long series. I think both these teams are going to be able to hit the ball. To me, this is more of an over series here down in Texas. I do lean toward the Astros, the favorite as well, but again, didn't put anything down on this one. I'm just excited to be able to bet Verlander World Series MVP when it comes to it, because I love the fact that he's back in Houston, going to go back to the World Series with this Astros team, hopefully. And then I can get a little bit of piece of him, see if we're able to get multiple wins, get a nice little Verlander ticket going.
We mentioned it at the top. Let's go to Thursday Night Football. That was a snooze fest because Sean Payton is in full tank mode. But again, it's all about getting the best of the number, not necessarily the best of it. But again, you could have pushed on the Broncos and you could have covered the 10.5, which it ended up closing with the Chiefs, a 19-8. They got the touchdown and 2 point with about 6 minutes to go, they being the Broncos. But the Broncos, I wrote down yikes in my notes here, Mr. Somich. I said Peyton, one of the best offensive minds of all time. No complexity to the offense, basic and curious play calling. Would you disagree with any of that?
I don't, man. It sure feels like this Broncos team is secretly tanking for Caleb Williams, and it's not so much of a secret anymore. Their GM was actually at the Colorado USC game on the sideline, which I thought was interesting. You know, we've got a 10-year contract with Peyton. He clearly doesn't want Russell Wilson there for the first five of those 10 years. And so I think he would be happy to be able to take a first round quarterback here. This was just like playing with your food from a Chiefs perspective. Andy Reid did not bring out the good plays. You could tell that they were not interested in trying to show anything on tape here. They thought they had this Broncos team beat from the first snap. And the Broncos team on offense, it was just vanilla. I mean, it's a mess over there. You've got the Jerry Jeudy issues. You guys played that Steve Smith senior clip earlier. That was wild. You're hearing that there's a problem in the locker room with Jeudy as well. You're already shopping pass rushers there. I mean, this Broncos team has no interest in winning this year. They're a play against here moving forward. I will say the running back room, pretty interesting with Williams and McLaughlin there. But outside of that, there's just not much talent in Denver. And this Chiefs team, they are really good. I realize that was a vanilla game plan from Denver. I've got the Chiefs defense as the number six defense in the NFL right now. It is a scary proposition to have Patrick Mahomes have the sixth best defense in the NFL. If he's able to figure out that receiving group, if they're able to improve as the year goes on, this is a really, really dangerous Chiefs team when they decide to start trying.
Mike, I know last week you mentioned you had the Chiefs as your number one power rated team. Anything changed for you from the performance in Minnesota since we talked to you last Friday and Thursday night's game at all?
I still got the Chiefs first, and mainly it's the difference I have between Mahomes and Purdy. I think Kansas City and San Francisco are clearly the two best teams in the NFL right now. But when it comes down to it, I just trust Kansas City with Mahomes more. I think that the defenses are closer to comparable this year, and I'm still worried about San Francisco staying healthy. They've got to prove that they can stay healthy for a full 17-game season and into the playoffs. It's something they've struggled with for the last 3 years. Until they're able to do that, I'm going to go with Old Faithful with the Chiefs here.
Okay, Samich is here. A great looking new setup behind him there at the crib. Of course, you can check him out every Saturday and Sunday on The Handle with Mr. Brown. We return Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
VSIN, the sports betting network, and Amal was just asking Samich, do you like hockey? Little known fact about Mike Samich, his indoctrination here on VSIN, the sports betting network, was doing hockey on the Lombardi line with me and Mr. Lombardi. So remember that, Mike. Look how far you've come now, hanging out every weekend in Vegas at Circa on The Handle. And check out Mike's picks along with Amal Shaw, who's been red hot, over at VSiN.com/subscribe. Easily sortable, file host and guests, top VSiN expert leaderboard, introductory offer right now for $19. Should give a shout to the big guy as well. The big guy sent over like 14 picks. This is typical Dustin Sweetelson, and I mentioned it earlier. He's not in today, and it's brutal for him. Like, some people like to have days off from work, but he just identifies with work, and that's why I always get mad at him. I wish he would care a little bit more about himself sometimes in life and, you know, take care of his health, but work. So it's a complicated relationship he has with work, but he has the day off where he's hanging out with his parents in Las Vegas today. And I think he's in hell because he's texted me more today than he does when we're working. But he did send over almost like a, hey guys, don't forget about me text, which was, I asked them all to set a total on how many picks that Dustin sent over today. Apparently, he wanted us to do 3 hours on him because he sent over 15 picks. So we'll get those in for the big guy, who, to be fair, has been doing a great job ROI-wise and against the spread over there. Picks at a glance, vsin.com/subscribe, and the big guy will be back on Monday. Okay. Are you still hating on the Bengals, Mr. Samich? Because Amal and I, and of course Dustin, we got 40-1 with our free roll. And I'm looking right now, I know one of your bets is the over 44.5 with Seattle at Cincinnati. But I was talking to Amal during the break a couple breaks ago about the quotes coming out of Cincinnati are absolutely wonderful. Burrow saying his calf has never felt better. In fact, he said it's the best feeling calf on the planet. The team, some organized activities. There's a lot of bonding going around with the Bengals. Hooday, indeed, Samich.
Yeah, I best feeling calf on the planet. I'll take the under on that. There's at least one calf that's feeling better.
I might have made that up
right now. No chance that's true. Look, I The Bengals are tough. I wrote an article for VSiN.com all about injury and assessing injuries in the NFL, how it affects the line, and really how to try and take advantage of it as a better. And Joe Burrow is one of the guys I talked about because these first 5 weeks, absolutely baffling from a handicapping perspective on what to expect from Joe Burrow. We knew he had the calf injury going into week one. No one really knew the severity. We saw him be able to move pretty well on Monday night, week three. And then week four, he had his worst game of the season. Now, he came back and he looked better week five against that Cardinals team. But when you look at even the deep touchdown to Chase, he kind of hopped through it. He didn't really push off that back calf. He ran. He did scramble in that game, which I think is a positive. I think we're starting to see the other side of it. I want to make sure you're consistently getting 6 days rest if you want to play Joe Burrow. We'll see how they're able to come out. From a long-term perspective on this Bengals team, they've got a tough schedule. This was the easiest first stretch of their games. They really had three winnable games after those two games in division, week one and week two. They're sitting there 3-2. To me, for them to be able to win a Super Bowl, they have to win the division, which I think is in range for them, but they really need to take advantage. They need to play very well down the stretch because the schedule does get tougher for the Bengals. As far as this week's matchup, I think it's going to be a fun game. I mean, we've got a Seattle team coming off a bye, heading into Cincinnati. They've actually played a lot better than I think people realize. That week one loss to the Rams doesn't look as bad as it did when they lost that game. The win in Detroit looks a heck of a lot better than it did when they won that game as well. And we've seen what Detroit's been able to do on both in the trenches on both sides of the ball. That was so Seattle was actually able to hold up against them. I think that says a lot about this Seattle team. I think both of these offenses have a lot of success on Sunday, though. This is a Bengals defense, which I don't think is nearly as good as last year. They lost Bates, their star safety. They're still trying to work through it there. I think they may improve as the season goes on, but he was their signal caller and very important for that defense. On the Seattle side, I think they're an average defense, but I think if we have Burrow playing the way he is, they're going to be able to put points up as well. Total sitting at 44.5. I like the over in this spot. I don't want to touch a side. I would lean Seattle simply because they're off a bye and catching points on the road, but I'm probably not going to have a bet in my account unless it gets to 3.5.
Well, I like Mike's call on the over here. A couple things in the breakdown of Seattle's schedule so far. I don't think the Rams' loss is that bad, not because the Rams have looked better than probably we anticipated. It's a division opponent to start the season. I think there's always rampant optimism in all 32 camps when you start the season. I thought Stafford played pretty well. Now, in terms of the Detroit win, overall, it's a good win, but I thought they got 24 points in the second half, and then also Detroit was -3 in the turnover category. I think the Hawks are a pretty good football team. They're probably somewhere in between, in my estimation, between what they showed in Detroit and the loss against the Rams. I still think this is a team that can challenge. But Patrick, I'm going to tell you right now, I love Cincinnati in this spot. This reminds me of the game against the Rams a few weeks ago or a couple of weeks ago. They need this game. If they drop this game, they've got an 8% chance of making the playoffs. You cannot go to a scenario right now where Cincinnati falls to 2-4 in a competitive division. Mike referenced it. You've got still to come. The 49ers, the Buffalo Bills, this is going to be a challenging schedule moving forward. I think this is a game where they can get on top and get on track here. This is a good opportunity at home.
You know what it is? It's Samich has bitterness that the handle didn't win the random drawing from Bill AD, and he's just picking apart. Look, random. Here's the bottom line. You know what it's about. It's about playing a price. It's 440. Now, I can't remember. I think you said San Francisco. And to be fair to you and Amal, what was it? 5.5 to 1 on the Friday when we learned?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So if we're talking 5.5 to 1, I mean, what we've seen from the 49ers right now, they're a freaking wagon, boys. So it's like I would have had no problem with a return of, you know, $5,500 on the 49ers. But if we're just talking pricing, I think one of the prices you said you liked was the Seahawks, actually, Mike.
Yeah, I said I would take the Chiefs as a short price. If I'm going to take an AFC team, I want the team I think is going to get the number one seed in the AFC because I don't want to go on the road against the AFC quarterbacks. If I'm going to take a price, I'm taking an NFC team because I think there is ways you can go on the road in the NFC and be able to win. The Seahawks, I think we're sitting there 35, 40 to 1 as well. They would have been the price play for me if I was taking a crazy shot simply because I think they're going to continue to improve as the season goes along. And yes, the top of the NFC is very good. After those two teams, Philadelphia and San Francisco, there's a lot of beatable teams in the NFC.
I agree with Mike completely. And I'll tell you what, I try to tell John Goulet on Friday, allow us to make this play on the 49ers now. Because when they beat Dallas on Sunday, this number is going to come down. I think he just thought he was doing us a solid by letting the Cowboys potentially win the game and the number get better, but obviously it didn't materialize.
Oof, the Cowboys
shots fired.
Offense. The shots fired and deserved shots fired,
absolutely.
If we're being honest. Let's go to London. Cheerio, Baltimore will stay in division at Tennessee at Tottenham Stadium. It is. Is it Tottenham Stadium? Yeah, that's where they're playing, right? I guess apparently.
Yep.
All the
Spurs.
They're bitter. They're bitter with the turf. Apparently, the turf not suitable for football. However, Baltimore's laying 4.5 in the total, low 142 here, Mike.
Yeah, give me Baltimore here for a couple reasons. First off, I think this number is a little bit short because of last week's Pittsburgh game. If you watch that Pittsburgh game, it was the faultiest final we have seen from the entire season. That should have been a Baltimore Ravens win by 14 points. And when you look at the metrics, it looks like it's a close game. But when you factor in the drops that you had from Baltimore's side, two easy touchdown drops, close to 120 air yards dropped, if you added that, the YPP, the overall yardage gain would have shown a dominant performance here from the Baltimore Ravens versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Pittsburgh wouldn't have been in it in the second half. So you wouldn't have had near the same issues toward the end. I think Baltimore's downgraded a little bit because of that in the market. I don't believe they should be. Secondly, I love what Baltimore did from a travel perspective here. So this is the second time they've gone to London. First time they went, they got waxed by 37 points. They flew on a Friday. They left on Monday of this week because they felt it was like it was that big of a deal to have the extra time in London. When are the Titans heading out? Friday morning. Give me the team that's going to be out there and do actually practice on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in London. They're able to get acclimated to the surroundings, and then they're able to play the game on Sunday. I think it's going to make a big difference here. I'm also low on Tennessee. I don't think this is a very good football team. Baltimore's run defense has been very good. They'll be able to stop Derrick Henry. So then the big question is, can Ryan Tannehill beat me? I'll take my chances there. It's also the first time since week one, Baltimore's offensive line is going to be healthy as well. I love the Ravens in this spot.
First of all, I like your breakdown of Baltimore. I tend to agree with you. I think they're being underappreciated and undervalued for that performance late in the fourth quarter against Pittsburgh. That's a game they should have won. They dominated that game really for the most part. The one thing I don't understand, guys, if you're going from the East Coast, New York, Boston, Philly, D.C. area to London, it's the same thing if you're flying to Seattle. Why do we act like they're going to Southeast Asia?
Hey, what happened to the plane back in the day that could fly from New York to London in like 17 minutes?
The Concorde, no 3.5 hours?
The Concorde.
Yeah.
Well, how is it possible that the Concorde used to exist and it just doesn't anymore? Like what? We went backwards as far as development of spacecraft? What is that? Amal, you're a traveler. Tell me why.
Dude, it's cost prohibitive. Too expensive. But in terms of time, you're absolutely right. I don't understand. These teams are going over here like, guys, we're going to London. I mean, it's not like these guys aren't eating fish and chips at home. I mean, come on, give me a break here.
You would think it wouldn't make much of a difference, but Baltimore chose to fly out 4 days earlier, their second experience. Clearly, it does make a difference. The Titans taking a red eye? Why would you ever take a red eye if you're an NFL franchise?
It's the only way to travel.
No stone. Yeah, Amal loves red eyes. Yeah. Amal is a freaking weirdo. If we're just being honest.
Amal doesn't play in the NFL.
He doesn't play by regular rules in any aspect of life.
I do have to sign off on the weirdo part. He's correct.
We'll come back. We'll get some college plays from Samich, and we'll run the board as we do here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, the Mountaineers defensive backs wearing roller skates on that Hail Mary didn't help us. Anywho, let's take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches, Samich. We're always debating, Mr. Shaw, what team and what a team needs to do to go to number one. But Zyn nicotine pouches are already there, boys. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. You can find your Zyn at your local convenience store. I can't believe that freaking happened last night. Anywho, go to ZYN.com. That's ZYN.com as a warning. Seriously, backing up, this product does contain nicotine. If you're Neil Brown, I don't know what you're doing today. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Welcome back. I mean, I didn't go as hard as Amal did on West Virginia, but we were feeling pretty good. Now, the only solace you can take as we say hi, I'm Patrick Maher, Amal Shaw at the D, Mike Samich, just before he takes off on the flight to Las Vegas to host the handle over the weekend. Of course, Saturdays and Sundays, of course, the boys are doing an amazing job. And let's actually talk about what you have coming up on the show in just a minute here. But I think if we can take solace, it wasn't necessarily our game there, but then all of a sudden we had it and then it was ripped right out of our hands. So it's not necessarily a terrible beat. It's just one of those situations you'd like to have the good fortune.
To me, I quantify a couple things as terrible beats. Mario Cristobal not taking a knee, Robin Ventura not circling the bases on a grand slam when you've got over 7.5 like I did. That's a terrible beat. But here's the thing where I'm ticked off. Mike, you go back to the third quarter. The Mounties are moving the ball. They've got a 3 or 4 point lead at this point in time, and they throw the ball. Should have been a touchdown. The running back pops it up right into Hamilton's hands. He gets a pick off. That should have been a touchdown. They should have gone up 10 or 11, whatever the number would have been. I think 10 at that point in time. That's what really kind of swung the game for me there.
Yeah, I mean, these college football games, it seems like we have more of these plays happening week after week where you're just on the razor's edge of a side or a total and something wonky happens. It's a dropped pass. It's a fumble that's not a fumble, but maybe it is because his arm's going forward without the football. Something is happening each one of these games. But I kind of agree with Patrick here. It felt like watching the game, Houston was the right side. There were moments West Virginia seemed to get control. But I felt like Houston deserved to cover that game before the last 2 minutes. Now, I also agree, it's gut-wrenching when your team, and you feel like you shouldn't cover, goes in and scores, you're in cover land, you're celebrating, and then you have it end like that. I mean, it's one of those where you're like, come on, can't I just catch a break? And as someone who bets horses all the time, I promise you it all evens out. You end up 50-50 on photo finishes. You'll end up 50-50 on these coin flips. It's one of the reasons bankroll management is so important in both horse race betting and in sports betting. But man, it's frustrating when it goes the other direction.
I'm not complaining about the loss in the Hail Mary. I'm actually just still apoplectic about the play in the third quarter because they would have gotten up two scores, and I think the dynamic of the game changes. It's so many times there's those plays in between that we forget about that are really the key to where you get. I'm not that mad because I got lucky in the Broncos-Jets game on Sunday. So to me, that, as you alluded to, it's a 50-50 wash there. I just think because there was such little time left, and it's rare that an experienced play-by-play guy like Tim Brandon goes, hey, this thing is over.
Brando.
He was looking for his keys.
Brando's got no chill at all. Okay, just quickly on the handle, coming up this Saturday and Sunday, what do you got on tap?
Yeah, we'll be on 4-7 Pacific, 7-10 Eastern. Saturday, we'll cover all the Sunday NFL games, talk about all of our bets, go over the injury reports, say who's in, who's out. From 6-7 Pacific, 9-10 Eastern, we'll release both the Survivor, Circa Survivor picks, as well as Circa Millions picks. So make sure you tune in, check that out. You can find out who Matt and I have as well. Then Sunday, we'll react to the games, Legion to Sunday Night Football, go out our player props, first touchdown bets, live bets for that night. And then we'll go over the line for the following week. It's been the most valuable segment of our show. If you're talking to our listeners, we've been on the right side of 4 or 5 line moves almost every single week. So it's a great way to get ahead and get your card started for the following week. That's 6-7 Pacific, 9-10 Eastern on Sunday when we rip through all the games.
Huge upgrade on the weekends, valuable programming. That with the handle, of course, Mike Somich and Matt Brown. Okay, quickly, I just want to get two games from you, college football, then we'll go straight to the board, as is customary here with the boys, as we run it, NFL style. USC, you're going to take the 3. Now, you can find a 3. If you want to lay it with Notre Dame, you can find a 2.5. You're going to take.
Yeah, give me the 3 points here. Look, Caleb Williams is the best player on the field. The handicap is really as simple as that, and this is a brutal stretch for the Irish at this point. I mean, they have played 4 or 5 big games ever since that Ohio State game. It's just big game after big game after big game. Now they've got to go home, take on a USC team that we'll see how this defense holds up, but I'm confident the offense is going to be able to put points on the board against the Irish. So it's whether or not the Irish can score with them. Like I said, I'll take Caleb Williams this situation. I think this is the wrong favorite. I think USC should be laying 2.5, not catching 3. So I'll take the field goal with the Trojans here.
Corvallis lay 3.5. UCLA in town. Very good defenses. We're going to go under the 54.5. What are you doing here?
Don't hate the under. Haven't played it yet, but I would lean toward that direction. Look, we've seen a trend develop here with these, what I'm going to call mid-tier Pac-12 teams. None of them can win on the road. And I think that's what we're going to see here with a young quarterback at UCLA trying to go into a very hostile environment. They've already lost at Utah when they could not move the football one iota. Now they've got to go to Oregon State and try and be able to put points on the board. I think Oregon State takes care of business here. If you look at the games in conference, Oregon State goes into Washington State. They lose. Utah goes into Oregon State. They lose. Every single time you have these road teams going in at the middle tier of this conference, that home field advantage matters. And you've got some phenomenal home field advantages here in the Pac-12, Oregon State being one of them. I'll lay the 3.5 with Oregon State.
Beautiful. Great job, Mike Somich. Okay, boys, I'm going to pull up the board here. We're going to run it as we do. It's customary on a Friday here, Sharp Money, to run the board. We go rotation number, and we're going to get started in London, 251. Again, we'll start with Samich. We'll go to Amal Shah, and I'll finish us off. 251, your rotation number, Baltimore at Tennessee. Baltimore's laying 4.5. You got a total of 42, Samich.
Love the Ravens in this spot. Went over it last segment. They're adjusting their travel schedule. It tells me that they're paying attention to this game. Faulty final last week against Pittsburgh. I have Baltimore laying 7. So 4.5 to me is a bargain number. I also tend to like the over a little bit here in this spot. Tottenham played toward overs generally.
I'm not going to touch this game, but I like Mike's call on the Ravens here. Good bounce back opportunity for them against a bad Titans team.
Both teams, the Ravens and the Titans, have had 4 of their first 5 games this season go under the total. That's why you see a 42 on the total. It's a low one. Also, the travel, which no stone unturned with Mr. Samich, highlighted perfectly. However, what changed my mind, and I think it changed Wyatt, our producer's mind as well, he wants to go lay it because your number, your true number being 7, has changed my mind. I'll go Ravens, lay the 4. Samich is as sharp as they come in the NFL. He's got 7 showing. I'll take the difference and lay the 4. Let's go 253, your rotation. Washington is at Atlanta. Two teams that need it here. Atlanta is laying 2.5, Mike, and a total of 42.
Not going to touch the total here. I made it 42.5, so I think we're right around the right number. If I was going to play a side, I would take Atlanta. Desmond Ridder actually been a lot better at home than on the road. I don't think this Washington team's very good. They were supposed to be a good defensive team. We've just not seen that from them all season. So for me, this is Atlanta or pass.
I agree with Mike. If you can get less than a field goal here, I like this Falcons team. They're getting a lot of home games in early. I think that was a good win for them. Ridder's had 2 come-from-behind victories against Green Bay and against Houston. I think this is a good matchup, and this is one of the few times where Ridder is actually equivalent to the other quarterback on the other side.
Okay, boys. Washington has scored 8.5 points. They've averaged 8.5 points in the first half this year. That's not very good. However, The Falcons, hold my beer. They've averaged 5.5 points in the first half this year. The total set at 20.5 first half. Let's go under that first half total of 20.5 with the Commanders and the Falcons. Yikes. 255, Mr. Samich. Minnesota is at Chicago, and Minnesota's up to 3. It's blanketed, so 3 everywhere. 43.5 on the total. What do you got here, Mike?
I was part of the move when this was Minnesota 2.5. I was one of the people that took the 2.5 or laid the 2.5 with Minnesota here in this spot. The optimism around the Bears is a little bit too high for me. Justin Fields back-to-back good games, but they were against atrocious defenses. So I'm not really going to give them all that much credit. The Vikings defense, not very good either, but I don't think this should have been under 3. I think the Vikings should have been a 3.5 to 4-point favorite here. Here at 3, I think it's right around the correct number. But if a -2.5 pops up with the Vikings again, I'd recommend betting it.
Didn't touch this game, Patrick, but I'm a little bit opposite of Mike on this one. I like the Bears at home catching the 3. I just have some concerns about Minnesota without Justin Jefferson and where this team is at mentally, sitting at 1-4 and potentially looking at 1-5.
Okay, alert the presses. We've got a gummy play, a 10 on the line with me and Mr. Samich, because I love the Chicago Bears. A gummy on the line. Give me the 3 at home. Minnesota, that was an emotional spot last weekend. Could have won it at home against Kansas City. Turnaround, maybe the best player in football right now, Justin Jefferson. He gone. Kirk Cousins, a lot of trade speculation. And here comes Chicago. This is about as high as they've ridden in a while. I'll take the 3 at home. Agree, this would be a spot to fade the Bears. However, the 3 up from the 2.5, that is the selling point for me. So we do have our official gummy play on rotation 255, Mr. Samich, which he can use on that 45-minute flight from Santa Barbara to Vegas if he comes out a winner. When we return, we continue with the board. 257, Mike Samich's Seattle Seahawks at our Cincinnati Bengals. Next up, Sharp Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, DraftKings, get involved. $5. You get $200 instantly when you use the promo code SHARP. It's that simple. plus a no sweat same game parlay. My goodness, DraftKings, thank you. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Don't forget to use that promo code SHARP. Okay, we got you back here. Mike Somich, we're running the board. Amal Shaw, I'm Patrick Maher. It's Sharp Money on a Friday. Hope you're having a nice week. Got a huge weekend as far as sports are concerned. Shout to the big guy, Dustin Sweetelson. Great job by Wyatt, but big guy will be back on Monday. He sent me over like 15 plays. I'm going to give out his NFL plays right now. And when I do, I'll get, I guess I have to do shtick like Dustin would do. I have to think of like a pun, right? I'll get ahead of it, boys. That's what she said. Okay. Dustin, first half Eagles lay 3.5 at the Jets. First half Chiefs against the Broncos. He already won that. That's why he put it in here just to brag. Smart Patriots man. At the Raiders. He likes the under 41.5. Saints at the Texans under 42.5. Commanders at the Falcons under 42.5 for the big guy. The Bears catching 2.5 versus the Vikings. Catching 3 now. He's got a better number. And the Titans catching 4.5 now against the Ravens. There are the big guys' plays as far as the NFL is concerned. Okay, boys, let's continue. We run it. Let's go. Next up, 257, Seattle at Cincinnati. Right now, Cincinnati's laying 3, and the total, Amal Shaw, is 4. Excuse me, Mike Somich is 44.5.
Give me the over here. Seattle coming off the bye, I think you'll be able to move the football against the Bengals defense, which I think is weaker than last year. I think what I saw from Burrow last week gives me confidence that this Bengals offense should be able to move the football at least decently against the Seattle defense here. I'll take the over 44.5. Whoever ticks to 3.5, give me the Seahawks as well.
Patrick, this is my favorite play of the NFL season so far. I love the Bengals in this one. 2.5 or 3. When you look at this, remember the look-ahead line when Burrow was expected to play against the Rams was 6. And then when he wasn't expected to play, it was 2.5. Now you got Joe Burrow in the lineup, played well against Arizona. You've given me a similar or comparable number to two teams that I think are pretty similar. I know Mike has Seattle rated a little bit higher. But at the end of the day, I got the Bengals in a really crucial spot for them. I love the Bengals here. Again, like I said, my favorite bet of the NFL season so far through 6 weeks.
Somich, Legion of Doom with his Seahawks. I don't even know if I like the Bengals play lane 3, but I'm laying it out of pride because we've got 40-1 on a $1,000 free roll. That is full disclosure. Don't trust me, but I agree with Amal Shaw and his breakdown. Let's go. Hooday. Next up, 259. Next up, 259. San Francisco, Purdy at Cleveland. PJ Walker, 36.5 on the total, Somich.
Yikes. Yeah, I can't touch this one now that we're at 10. It was 7.5 yesterday when this news broke. Great teaser zone there, but sitting at 10 for me, this is tough to take a side or a total. No interest in backing PJ Walker. I made this 9.5 with PJ Walker in, so technically I guess I should be taking the points, but I'm not going to take the points in this spot. It's just one to pass on. I'll bet on a different game.
If you have some guts, play the under 36.5 or 35.5 for where you can get it. Browns number 1 in total defense, 49ers number 2 in total defense. Browns number 1 against the pass, Niners number 2 against the run. No play here.
I like, well, this is, again, we don't have to give official plays, just a lean. Yeah. I do like that. I'll give you another one here. I'm going to go under team total Cleveland Browns. Do you guys have, you want to take a shot what it is? It's 13.5. Let's go. There is no chance we're getting to 14 points here with PJ Walker and the Browns against this 49er defense. Let's go under 13.5 Cleveland Browns team total. Next up, rotation 261, New Orleans at Houston. New Orleans laying 1.5 on the road, Somich, and the total is 42.
Total's right on for me. Kind of want to take overs in Houston games, but that last week was pretty frustrating. Atlanta, they were just not able to convert inside the red zone. That's one of the big concerns for me. Saints defense been very good in the red zone. Saints defense actually been pretty good. However, it's been against a weaker schedule. Lean toward the Saints here. I'll probably end up playing them at 1.5 when it comes Sunday. This will be one of the last games on my card, though.
I lean the Houston Texans, but if you're a teaser player, I love the Texans in this one, getting 7.5. And I'm not a big fan of teasing totals, Mike, but I would take this thing up to 48.5. Patrick, I think both teams struggle against pretty solid defenses. I think Stroud could have his worst game of his career so far.
New Orleans, 11 straight unders. What? Let's keep it going. 42.5. We'll go under New Orleans and Houston. Next up, 263, Indy at Jacksonville. Of course, it is Minshew. Lawrence for Jacksonville laying it 44. This is Jacksonville's bugaboo. Indianapolis coming down to Jacksonville, right? Let's go, Somich. What do you got?
Give me the Colts plus the 4 here. Terrible travel spot for the Jaguars. We talked about all this travel to London. They just spent 2 weeks there. Now they're coming on back home, taking on a team that gave them all they could handle in week 1. The Colts were the better side in that game. And to me, this is a spot where I just don't trust this Jacksonville Jaguar team. They love to shoot themselves in the foot with drops, with turnovers, with penalties, with block kicks, whatever it is. They really don't take advantage of teams when they're up. They have a hard time pulling away. We saw Houston take advantage of all those mistakes. I don't think this is a blowout in any way, shape, or form. Hate the travel spot for the Jaguars. I'll take the plus four with the Colts here.
Completely agree with Mike. I think the winner, I don't know who it's going to be, is going to be by either 3 or 4 points on either side.
Completely agreed. Disgusting spot for the Jags. I'll take the Colts catching 3 in the first half. We continue, boys. Let's go. Next up, 265 Carolina is at Miami. It's a big number. 14, Samich, 47.5 with the Dolphins laying it. Your Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, baby. We're not laying the 14, but give me the over here, 47.5. I think that's a tick too low. I made this one right around 49. This is not a good Panthers defense. It was at the start of the year when you had J.C. Horn in, when you had all these, their secondary healthy. That secondary is a mess now. Miami going to be able to put up point after point against them. And the one thing I'll say about Bryce Young, he's starting to come along and get some trash points on the board. He scored 14 in the fourth quarter against Detroit to push that game over. I think this one goes over as well. I'll take the over 47.5.
No play here, but if you're still alive and Survivor and you have the Dolphins, this is your spot.
The Dolphins team total, they dropped 70 on Denver. They can drop 31 on Carolina. 30.5 is the team total. We're going to go over that with the Miami Dolphins. Next up, 267, Detroit's at Tampa Bay. Detroit's laying 3, Samich, and the total's 42.
This is a total I've been banging the drum about playing the under since Monday. 42, it's gotten away from it a little bit. I wrote an article on Monday and said it gave out 44.5. I think this one's going to keep being bet toward the under. I would lean toward the under still, but it's hard to make a play here. I do like the Bucks plus the 3.5 at any point we get it. To me, this is just a Lions team that's absolutely at the top of its market. When Philadelphia came to town, the Philly got bet down to 4.5. That means you have a Philly minus 1.5 on a neutral against the Lions. I'd be betting Philly all day, every day in that spot. So for me here, this is the Bucks off a bye, catching points at home. So give me Tampa plus the 3, but I'm going to wait out to see if I can get a 3.5. If I can't, I will bet the 3 on game day.
Yeah, I would have taken Detroit in this spot. Normally speaking, I don't mind the 3 as much. Coming off of a bye, I like teams in those spots. They're a lot healthier than Detroit is right now. I'm going to pass on this game, but lean Lions.
Yeah, the health makes you pass. The Lions, 27-12 ATS under Campbell. That's the best in the NFL in that span, but I can't do it. The injuries are too much. Let's go plus 3 with the Bucks. Next up, let's go quick, boys. 269, New England at Vegas. 3-41. Vegas is laying it, Samich.
It's gross, but this is the bottom of the market for New England, so you got to take the plus 3 here. So I have a plus 3 in my account.
Patriots plus 3 all day.
Patriots plus 3. It's disgusting. It's the bottom of the market, like you said. It's the best spot that New England's going to be in all year. Take the 3. Arizona at the Rams. The Rams are laying 7-49 on the total, Samich.
I played this one as a second half of a teaser leg when San Francisco was in that teaser range. If you get another teaser leg you like, I do like the Rams here. I think the Rams laying the 7s the right side. I didn't bet it, but my lean would be the Rams in this one.
I said Houston Texans teaser. Rams down to 1 here. I like those two teams in a tease.
I do too. I the tease partner, you know what? I'll go with our next one. The Philadelphia Eagles down to 0.5 points. So I'll take the Rams down to 1. Eagles next up, 273 down to 0.5 at the Jets, 6.5 and 40.5 on the total, Samich.
Lean toward the Eagles minus the 6.5 here. Love the second half under if the Eagles are ahead. They're really going to slow this game down if they have a lead in the first half. So you got to keep an eye on it. It'll probably pop up somewhere around the 20-20.5 range. Take the under if the Eagles have a 10-point or greater lead.
Guys, I'm opposite of you. Give me the Jets here plus 6.5. Zach Wilson's playing a little bit better, but I think this team with Jalen Carter missing practice, I like the Jets here in 6.5.
For new bettors, what Samich is talking about, like last night, you had an opportunity to bet under 21.5 on that 2.5. You knew up 13-0, Kansas City wasn't going to do anything, show nothing. It cashes under. Next up, let's go 275, Giants at Buffalo, 15, Buffalo's laying at 44, Samich.
I'll take the 15 with the Giants. Another gross one, but I think this is the bottom of the market. The Bills, I know they beat up on these bad teams, but 15, I think, is just a little too much here.
Patrick, we get to skip Sunday night football this weekend.
You have to take the 15. Yeah. That's a ridiculous number. There's got to be some pride in that Giants locker room. Monday, can't skip it, Amal. Let's go 16 on the 16th. Dallas at the Chargers. Samich, Dallas lane 2.5, 51 on the total.
Man, I hate this game. I'll go Cowboys. I lean Cowboys. I haven't bet it yet. I kind of like the under with these two offenses just because I don't think that you're going to see nearly the points in this game. But I lean Cowboys, lean the under. Haven't bet anything yet.
Give me the Chargers plus the 2, and the reason I'll take it is the money line's only 110, so I'll take the 2 here with the Chargers.
I'll take the Chargers plus the 2.5 just to piss off our boss and the rest of the crew at VSiN. Mike Somich in the handle. Travel safely. Great to see you on a Friday. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you.
You got it. I'll have a pillow pack for me, so I'm on BYOP to Vegas.
Great job, Amal. Enjoy the football this weekend. Big guy, we missed you. We'll see you on Monday. Wyatt, tremendous job. We'll see you on Monday here on Sharp Money.